Kia ora e te whānau, how are we feeling? Yeah, I'm gonna check. How are we feeling? Yeah, are we ready to hear the word? Are we ready to hear what God's kind of talking to us about this week? Yeah. So, what's our series that we're going through at the moment? Flourishing life. Yeah. Are we feeling like our life is flourishing a little bit more? I hope so. We've been talking about it. We've been working through it. We've been trying to figure out what a flourishing life in Jesus looks like. Yeah. We've worked through some really cool ideas, and today we're looking into the idea of identity, yeah? Identity, which is a really interesting one to jump into. As I was processing this idea, this theme of identity, I was wondering what do we actually mean when we talk about identity, okay? And I think the first place I wanted to go was, what does it mean to us in 2025 here today? So I do what anyone does, and I do a Google search. What's the definition of identity? Okay, and dictionary.com summed it up in this way. Identity is the unique set of characteristics that can be used to identify a person as themselves and no one else. The word can be used in different ways, in different contexts. On a personal level, identity often refers to a person's sense of self, meaning how they view themselves as compared to other people. So that's great, right? That's a definition of identity. I'd argue that's somewhat ambiguous. There's a lot in that. That could mean a lot of different things to different people. But what it suggests is that in 2025, generally we view our identity through our own lens, yeah? So what identifies us is how we view this world and how we actually view ourselves in the world. To put it a little bit differently, I guess if someone was to walk into this room that we didn't know and we were to introduce ourselves to them and they said this kind of question, which often comes up when you meet someone, tell me a little bit about yourself, yeah? It's those kind of things that are going to be what we see as our identity. So how you answer that question is a little bit of how in 2025 we identify ourselves. And often we answer this question with information like the work we do, the hobbies we maintain. And I've noticed for myself in recent years, it's actually become a lot about my children. Yeah, I identify myself through who my children are and who they're becoming. Interesting place to sit. When it comes to finding our identity in a flourishing life series, when we're looking at it through the lens of the gospel, through Jesus' lens, it's a little bit different because as followers of Christ, we find our identity in Christ. Yeah? And we're going to jump into a passage that kind of talks to us a little bit about that. But as followers of Christ, we find our identity in Christ. The passage today we're looking at is John 15, 1 through 17. And it's entitled The Vine and the Branches. So if you've got your Bible there, your phone there, please grab it up. John 15, 1 to 17. John 15, 1 to 17. And let's have a look at what Jesus has to say. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. It's quite a big picture there, eh? I don't know if you've ever noticed, but have you ever noticed that Jesus actually repeats himself a lot? He goes almost like round in circles. That's actually purposeful. He's trying to make sure that the message sinks in. It's an interesting kind of thing to note about Jesus. He kind of goes around in circles. So he starts somewhere and he comes back to that point at the end. Anyway, he was a storyteller. The picture Jesus paints is one of a gardener, a vine, and its branches. And if you haven't figured it out before today, and I'm saying this because sometimes we just assume that we all have the same knowledge about these kinds of things, but this one is a fairly clear one. God is the gardener, Jesus is the vine, and the disciples, and by extension us as the church, are the branches. A gardening metaphor which we too can understand. The idea of a branch not being connected, withering. Yeah, we've seen branches that fall off trees and then wither and die. Yeah, we can understand that. We can understand a fruitful branch that needs pruning, yeah, to be more fruitful. It actually needs some of the stuff taken away for it to actually grow further. It's a metaphor we can understand. And it's likely that Jesus used this metaphor because of a great golden vine that hung over the temple in Jerusalem. And they would have been walking past this vine as he began to tell this story. So it wasn't just a story that he read, it was a visual representation. It's almost like he had a PowerPoint or a slide right there in front of him, right? Because he had the vine there to tell the story. The imagery here is amazing, but it's also quite confronting. What does it mean for a gardener to prune off branches that aren't bearing fruit? What does it mean for him to cut off a branch that doesn't bear fruit? Remember where the branch is. Yeah? That's quite confronting, eh? Yeah, and that's the truth of Jesus' stories. There's always something confronting in there for us. What does it mean for the gardener to prune off a branch? Sometimes it's quite heavy to contemplate and shows us how important it is for us to be people who bear fruit in our lives. In fact, there's a whole sermon in that one particular verse itself, but that's not where we're going today. With our focus firmly on identity, and our main point today being that we find our identity in Christ, there are three points made in this passage which help us to understand our identity in Christ. These are: remain in Christ, love one another, and bear fruit and experience joy. So with all that in mind, let's begin with remaining in Christ. And if you've got your Bible still up there, it's John 15, 4. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So the question this verse creates is, what does it mean to remain in Christ? Yeah? What does it actually mean for us to remain in Christ? So the Tyndale commentaries, as I read this week, would suggest that remaining in Jesus, remaining in Christ, consists of three things: loyalty, fellowship, and obedience. Loyalty, meaning we need to pick him above all other things. So in any situation we face in life, that actually we would pick his way. Fellowship, I think we understand that. That's spending time with Jesus. That's prioritizing time with Jesus. And obedience, possibly the one we struggle with the most, yeah? Being obedient to God's calling in our lives. Family, as I was thinking of these three ideas, is there anything else in this world that you can think of that might exhibit these three traits? Because there was something that came straight to my mind when I thought of loyalty, fellowship, and obedience. Anyone? No? Oh, sports team, yeah. Yep, that is part of it. Or if... Jesus is coming in. Yep, he will come again. Yeah. But family, this might be a little bit, it might feel a little bit insulting for us today, but I thought of a dog. Dogs are loyal. Yeah. Most dogs are pretty loyal. Yep. Most dogs, they actually live life with us, right? They live life in fellowship with us. And if they're trained right, they're obedient, right? They'll follow certain commands. They'll do certain tricks. They can be obedient. They can be the complete opposite as well. But that was the main thought that came to mind, is actually a dog. And I know that might seem a little bit kind of rough, but I think these rough. But honestly, this is what came to mind, the loyalty, the fellowship, and the obedience of a dog to their master. Yeah? This, again, this is imagery that we can understand. Family, I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, but maybe I've been talking out too loud about this, but I have seen so many videos recently, and when I think of loyalty in animals, but there's been these videos popping up on my feed, and they've been of dogs either chasing a bear or a cougar away from their family and actually saving their family from this. A fire starting and the dog grabbing, the mother running away, and the dog actually grabbing the baby and taking the baby away from the fire. There's so many videos of, and one of the ones that happens quite regularly is furniture falling, and there's a baby sitting there, and the dog will go in between the furniture and the baby. Dogs are loyal, yeah. They will probably most likely do anything for us. It's amazing. Dogs are also in fellowship with us. They're devoted to us, yeah? When you get home, your dog is excited to see you, yeah? They're really excited to see you. And they would just do anything to do anything with you at any time. They love fellowship with their master. And dogs, in terms of obedience, when I was thinking of this, I was actually thinking of Rooney and the tricks. Has anyone seen Rooney's tricks? Yeah, and Rooney will do every trick. I mean, obviously there's food involved, but Rooney is obedient when it comes to doing tricks. What does it mean for us, family, to think of this idea of complete loyalty, obedience, and fellowship, that our lives would be so dedicated to the Father, that he's our all? Like, as soon as he comes home, that's the only thing we want. In fact, while he's away from us, that's all we want. We want our owner to come back to us, yeah? I guess it's a bit of a crude example, but family, I think this is what loyalty, fellowship, and obedience calls for, is that level of dedication to the Father. That's what it means to remain in him, for him to be our absolute everything and our all. So we need to remain in Jesus, and we also need to love one another. As the Father has loved me, this is John 15, 9 and 12. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. What Jesus says in this sentence is actually quite clever. He tells his disciples to remain in his love as he has remained in his Father's love. He follows this by saying, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. So he not only tells them what, so he gives them a what, remain in my love, but he also tells them how, by keeping his commands. So what? Remain in my love. How? By keeping my commands. As well, he then tells them why, so that my joy may be complete in you. When we remain in his love, we can't help but love each other. When we are following Jesus' example and commands, love isn't what we do, it's who we are. Yeah? When we remain in him, it is who we are. It's the very essence of who we are. And following Jesus' commands calls us to be those things. It's second nature. And as a result of all of this, we will experience joy. Who doesn't want to experience joy in their life, eh? Family, this is ultimately what I believe church fellowships exist for, yeah? This idea of loving one another. As we remain in Jesus, as we become more loyal, as we fellowship with him, draw closer to him, and obey his commands, it calls us to other people. It calls us to be part of something bigger than ourselves. It calls us to help each other on the journey of remaining in Christ. Yeah, it calls us to dig deeper into that together. It calls us to gather together in worship of this triune God. It calls us to dig deeper and ask questions of our own journey as we journey together. It draws attention to his word, and it tries to help us understand what it means in the here and now. It creates opportunity to keep each other accountable to our commitment to God, yeah? And it calls us to lift each other up when we've fallen. Remaining in Christ and loving one another go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. So family, we remain in Jesus and we love one another. But here is the best news of all. If we do those two things, as a result of all this, we will bear fruit and experience joy. This is what we've been promised. If we remain in Christ and love one another, we will bear fruit and we will experience joy. God keeps his promises, family. He doesn't stop doing what he says he'll do. If we remain in him, if we make him the most important thing in our life, and if we love one another, we will bear fruit and we will experience joy. It's not a you might, it's not a, you know, maybe, it's a you will experience joy. How good is that? Yeah, absolutely, how good is that? That's why we come together, that's why we worship, because he will bring joy. He will bear fruit in our lives. That's amazing. We can't do that on our own. What a wonderful God we serve. It means that whatever ministry Jesus calls us to be part of, whatever we put our effort and time into, Jesus will bear fruit through that situation. Family, we've been talking a lot about this Christmas event, right? And we're remaining in Christ's love, yeah? We're remaining in his love. We're loving each other. So I am telling you right now that he has told us through his word that he will bear fruit through that. Now, family, it may not look how we think it will look, yeah? It may not be hundreds of people running in here on a Sunday every week. But it may be the beginning of a relationship with someone else in the community that in 5-10 years' time results in them joining a church, maybe not ours, yeah? Coming to Christ in another way. Yep, yeah. How we bear fruit isn't always how we think it looks. In fact, most of the time in my experiences, the way in which we bear fruit doesn't normally look how I think it's going to look. And that's okay. Because what God wants and what God will do in bearing fruit is better than anything I can imagine. Yeah. We will see good outcomes for the kingdom. Yeah. It also means that in our lives we will experience joy. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that life's going to be perfect. In fact, from everything I've read throughout the word throughout my life, it always tells you, you will experience problems. There will be hardship. There will be things that you will struggle. And Jesus is constantly warning the disciples of all the things that they will face when he's gone. But when God is at the helm, when he is our every thought, when we remain in him in the good times and in the bad, we will experience joy. Family, when I thought of this, one of the things that we do as a family relatively regularly is when we're going through a hard time, when we're experiencing something. So when Imogen and Hugh are going through, having a fight with their friends, or just going through a really tough time. And if our kids know that Mum and I, Rochelle and I, are going through a tough time, we talk about all the rough things that we've faced in the past. One of the biggest ones we talk about was the flood that we had in our house. And we sit there and we go, you know what? That was hard, eh? But didn't we get to the other end? And weren't there all these good things along the way? And didn't God line up this, that, and every other thing? It calls us to remember that, yeah? God is good, and whatever we are facing, whatever hardship we are going through, the fact that we know that he's going to come through in some unimaginable, unbelievable way is just outstanding. And that's what carries us through. That's why there's so many festivals and everything in the Jewish tradition, because they're reminding themselves that God has always been good to us and always will be good to us. Family, we find our identity in Christ because he brings meaning and purpose to our lives. He brings joy and hope in hopeless times, yeah? And he bears fruit in our lives when we remain in him. And what he calls us to in all of this, to remain in him, is to be loyal to Jesus, to have fellowship with Jesus, and to be obedient to Jesus' calling on our lives. Family, to respond to this today, to respond to this idea of identity through Christ and remaining in him, I've also talked about the idea of loving each other, eh? And I couldn't help but just go, how do we love each other this morning? How do we embed this idea of remaining in Jesus this morning? And I just thought the best way we could do this possibly is to just turn and make groups, yeah? And we're going to pray for each other. And we're going to pray that this week and in the months to come, that being loyal to God is going to be easy, yeah? That in those moments where we need to save that child's life, you know, when God calls us to be loyal to him in some way, that it would just happen, that it would be easy for us to do so. We're going to pray that we have opportunities to fellowship with Jesus, to spend time reading his word, to pray, just to spend time in his presence. How often do we ever just sit in silence and listen for Jesus? Honestly, how often? Does anyone ever listen? I caught myself finally doing it the other day. I barely ever just turn everything off and sit in silence and wait for Jesus. But it's an important practice. But we're going to pray for that time for each other, yeah? We're going to pray that we would have so many opportunities to dig deeper. And we're going to pray that when it comes time to be obedient and step forward in some way, that we wouldn't live in fear, that in fact we'd go, you know what? Jesus said that if I'm obedient to him, I'm going to bear fruit and experience joy. So I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to trust who he said he is and what he's going to do. And family, that's how we're going to love each other this morning, because we're going to take that time to invest in prayer for each other, that we will experience those things throughout this week. And that we would experience the bearing of fruit in our lives. That in those moments where it gets hard, that we would just be so joyful. That we would sit there and go, oh, you know what? God's got my back. We're going to get through this. And we're going to be okay. And we're going to pray for that for each other. Yeah? And we're going to sit in that moment for a while. And then after we've done that, I'll come up and pray and then we'll have morning tea. But this is our opportunity to love each other. This is our opportunity to experience these things in our lives as we hit this week. So feel free to turn your chairs, gather around, make sure everyone in your circle and your group gets prayed for so that we see this happen in our lives. God bless you all, family.